The following special feature of WKQK Radio 1300 is pre-recorded.
This is a rebroadcast of the Brevard at Large program from August 29th, 2021, featuring Fremont Bassett, founder of Computers Advancing Education.
It's time once again for Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large, where we meet various guests and discuss issues and items of interest to all of us here on the Space Coast. My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today we are very pleased to welcome back as our guest the founder and president and CEO, chief cook and bottle washer of Computers Advancing Education, Fremont Freebie Bassett. Welcome, Mr. Bassett.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know if I'm just a strong back and a weak mind for this program, but hey, it is what it is, you know?
Well, why don't we start off by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. What is your background? Are you originally from Brevard County?
No, I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts. Well, actually, Quincy, Massachusetts. I went in the military to stay out of going into certain branches, and I went into the Air Force because I'm a licensed aircraft mechanic, and I'm also a pilot. So I went into the Air Force and went into Special Ops, First Air Commandos, gunships. I came back from Vietnam in February 70 and got stationed at Patrick Air Force Base and fell in love with Brevard County and met my beautiful bride, who was from Tennessee. And just, you know, it was funny because I met her and we talked and we talked a little bit more. And she was from Knoxville, Tennessee. And she walked over to me and said, you know, I thought damn Yankee was one word till I said in time. 8 months later, I married the woman.
Well, that's a funny story.
Oh, yeah, it really is. You know, and I tell people that and they go, oh, you're crazy. I said, no. And we were married 47 and a half years. She passed away January 1st of 2019 from 6.5 years of Alzheimer's. And I took care of her, kept her home. I'm not a computer geek. Like I said, I'm an aircraft mechanic and a pilot. And my son got me engaged in computers. We built one for a young man in 1997, whose father and mother had split, but the father was in Cairo, Egypt. And we built a computer for him, and he stayed in touch with his father. The young man now works in Silicon Valley, for crying out loud. And my wife at the time, Linda, was working for the Brevard County school system. And next thing you know, she told one of the teachers that I was doing that. And the next thing you know, I was getting mass quantity of calls to build computers. She was working at Saturn Elementary at the time as a health tech to build computers for a teacher's classroom. And people started donating and volunteering stuff and what have you. And I don't know how many we built back then, but so we started putting computers in schools in Brevard County. So,
well, I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to go back and just take a step or two back. First of all, thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend.
And second of all, we're very sorry about your wife's passing. We've had you on the program before, unrelated to Computers Advancing Education, and you and your wife's love story is truly that. It's a very inspiring love story, and I know you took care of her when she was ill, and I know that was very difficult for you to do that, but it seemed that it was a labor of love for you, and it is an inspiring story.
Well, you know, Francis, sometimes you meet that right person in your life. And I was engaged to another girl when I came back from Vietnam. And I gave the other girl a ring. And and she came down and she gave me the ring back from Massachusetts. And she said she didn't want to marry anybody in the military. Well, a year later, she married some guy in the Navy. And which I don't understand that one. But anyways.
Of course not.
Yeah, I met Linda, and like I said, 8 months after I met her, you know, we got married. And that ring I bought overseas is off the coast of Florida. I threw it in the water because I couldn't see giving it to anyone else and what have you. So So I pitched it in the water over there. So someday somebody's going to find a one-carat diamond on Cocoa Beach. I know. I'm totally crazy, but, hey, that's what it was, you know?
I'm curious, how did a lovely lady from Knoxville, Tennessee, get to Brevard County?
Well, her dad was an automobile mechanic. He was born with one hand, a left hand, and he had a club hand, you know, and he just couldn't stand the cold up in Knoxville. So he moves his family down here, and he started working down here. His name was Bill Adams, Superman, honest to God. Him and his wife, Pauline, they were just great people. I couldn't have asked for the best relatives if I had picked them out myself. So anyways, they moved down here, and Linda started, you know, went to school here, and then went to Cocoa High, to be exact, but it was Rockledge High at the time. And she graduated and then went on to work for Southern Bell. I used to tell a joke with her. She was a long distance operator, and I used to tell her, "Oh, okay, you're the mouth of the South," for crying out loud. I mean, like I said, we had one heck of a, you know, two separate people, two different people, one from Tennessee, one from Boston, Massachusetts, whatever. And we had such a great life. Had two wonderful boys, John, my oldest, and Greg, my youngest. I say youngest. John, 47, Greg's 42. And, you know, they're not kids and what have you. But I've had a wonderful life, and it's just been tremendous, you know, and I miss my wife tremendously.
I'm sure you do. Well, you seem to have lost your New England accent. Did she ever lose her lovely Southern accent?
Hell no.
Well, that's good. I don't know how you got rid of your Boston accent, because that's
through her, you know, just through her, what have you. You know, it's funny, too, but my father-in-law was very, very Tennessean. My mother-in-law wasn't as much, but she was. And my father-in-law and I, because he was an automobile mechanic and I was an aircraft, we had a great time doing things. And I had no problem going to Tennessee and visiting family. In fact, I still stay in contact with a lot of my wife's cousins and aunts up there. I figure we're still family, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
You know?
Well, did you ever work out at the Space Center?
Oh, yeah. I worked for a company called USBI. We used to call it Uncle, Sisters, Brothers, and In-Laws, but it really didn't have a name. Well, the nepotism was tremendous, but it was a great company. And it was at that time United Technologies, Pratt & Whitney. And so I worked out there, and I started in as an operations planner, and then I wound up in the pyrotechnic program system. When the shuttle would go up and all that stuff would fall off, that was me buying PETN and RDX and all the rest of those explosives from different companies all over the country. So and I had a good time. I really did.
You got to blow stuff up?
I got to see things blown up. I got to help blow stuff up. And, you know, it was crazy. But and then, of course, in 2010, when the shuttle went away, I got laid off, and then I got hired back in by another company called Avatar Technologies as a program manager again. And pressed on, you know, from the heavy launch vehicle and what have you. And then, you know, eventually in 2015, I retired because my wife's Alzheimer's really got bad, you know, to the point where she couldn't walk, talk, or anything, and I took care of her all the time, you know, at home. So, but I had VTOS, a grief of VTOS people, and I had respite through the Alzheimer's Foundation that would come in and help me do things. I still see the lady that would come in and help me with Linda, you know, on Mondays and Fridays, and let me get out to do shopping and what have you, you know, or just go out and have a burger at McDonald's, for crying out loud, you know. Linda stopped realizing life about 2 years before she died. You know, she didn't walk, she didn't talk, she didn't do anything. I had to feed her, I had to dress her, I had to clean her, I had to do everything for her. And I did it happily, because I was married to her for 47 years. And she was the best thing that ever happened to me. She made me a better person and made my life perfect, you know? And like I said, how do you find people like that, you know? So anyways.
It sounds like you were a very fortunate man.
And I don't think there are too many nicer things you could say about a person.
Well, she really was, you know, being so different, two people being so from two different parts of the country, you know, it was like, whoa, you know? So my parents loved her. My parents loved her too. So anyways.
Well, she sounds like a wonderful woman.
She was.
Did you start, thank you for telling our listeners about that love story. Did you start Computers Advancing Education while you were, you said it started when your son came to you and said, let's build this computer.
Yeah. I was still working at the Cape at the time, Francis. I was, it was in 1997. I just had a heart attack and quadruple bypass surgery. And he said, hey, Dad, you look bored. Let's do something. And I said, okay. You know, I'm barely getting out of a recliner to do something. And we started building one on a kitchen table. And that's what we did.
And then did you enlist the aid of coworkers at when you were still working out at the Cape to start refurbishing?
Yeah, I did. Well, what happened was Kaylee Derby, it's now Dominie, but Kaylee Derby and Patricia Gillis, I forget what her married name is now, they were both NASA Education Outreach and the Astronaut Memorial Foundation, and they found out that I was doing this, and they had me go out to schools to see what NASA was giving out to the schools and doing this and doing that. And, you know, some of the hardware that the schools got was not too good. So I said, you know, we need to start a program. So they got me a room in what then was the headquarters building upstairs. And I put a thing in the bulletin looking for people. And we wound up getting 50 boxes of computer stuff, and we built them. And I got 9 volunteers back then. And this was in 1997. And we started building them. We probably built 40 of those systems because the rest of them were junk. And that's when we had 10 meg hard drives in them. You know,
and that was state of the art.
Oh yeah, that was it, and they looked like they were a cinder block, for crying out loud. So, so anyways, we started, and then I guess it was the vice president then heard about us and wanted us, the United States vice president, wanted some of those machines to go up to, I guess it was West Virginia, because they were technologically, you know, inhibited. So they took 20 of those things and sent them up there, and we gave the rest away to Brevard County and people in Brevard County. And somehow we wound up at the old Spring Hills Elementary School, a room over there. I think it was Kaylee Derby got us engaged with the Brevard County school system, and Patricia also got us it is Patricia Gillis. Her other name was Emerson, but Patricia got us into that school, and we got one room, and we started building it, and we increased to about 15 people. And then they had another room, and I asked the principal there, I said, what's the chance of getting this stuff moved? Can we have this room? And he did, and we moved over there. And then I asked him again, I said, what's the chance of getting the other room on the other side? He said, yeah, sure. So we took up a whole wing of that school at one time.
Was it an active school at the time when you
no,
moved in there?
No, it had just, they were doing last chance kids and what have you. So they pretty much had shut it down. And then several years later, they said, hey, we want you to move to the front, the cafeteria and the dining hall and the stage and whatever. So we moved into that, and we were there for several years. And then the school system came up and said, well, we're really worried about the health of your technicians and people. And Whispering Hills, I think, was built in the 50s. And the asbestos, the mold, the mildew, and the ceilings and everywhere was horrible. And the rats were as big as a cat in there. So I'm not laughing. I'm not joking. We had to build water traps to catch them and during one of the hurricanes. So anyways, they decided to give us the opportunity to move over here to Riverview Elementary. And I have got to tell you, the school board did a tremendous favor to us, my people, and then just everybody in general. This is a wonderful facility. We're able to do more and keep things going. We actually have four or five operations other than just the giveaway. You know, are you still there?
Yes.
I heard a beep. That's what. what happened was the front office is our receiving and dispersal area. We created an antique area showing things like an Osborne, which was the first luggable computer, for crying out loud. And then in the other side, we have the desktop work processing area, where not only do they process hardware, but if you, like Francis, if you wanted to come in and you wanted to learn, a technician will say, let's go get a computer. We got racks of computers everywhere. Bring you over to it, said, okay, there's the BIOS battery. This is how you replace it. And you do the physical work, how to change put the memory in, how to do this, how to do that. Check it for bad capacitors. We even teach you how to solder and unsolder bad capacitors. So you're learning that on that side of the area, and you process it. You learn how to load the system off of the network or through a CD. Then once you've done that and it's all done, it goes over to the quality control guy, and he reviews it and checks it. And if there's something he doesn't, from the load or from the facility, from the way it looks and what have you, he sends it back to you with a note saying this needs to be fixed. So anyways, so that's one system. Then we have in the office at the old library, we've got a learning lab where we teach seniors what a computer is, how a computer works, how to use the network. And it's an ongoing class on Tuesdays, 9:30 to 11. And it's five class stages. And then if you don't get it the first time, you can come back. And this is all free. We do this all free. And I've got multiple seniors up here. There's about six or seven of them that come up every Tuesday. We've kind of shut it down. The people right now have got COVID, and we'll probably go back in, downstream a little bit. We come in every Tuesday and spray all of the workstations with Lysol. We wipe down. Every workstation has sanitizer on the desk. As you come in, we take your temperature. And if it's higher than what it should be, please don't come in. I mean, we had a young man to come in and wanted to volunteer. 104 degree temperature. And I said, nope, you're not coming in here.
How do you even feel like getting up and doing anything if you have that bad of a fever? I can barely move when I've got that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. And then we go over to the laptop storage room, and I've got two or three people in there that are looking at the laptops, defining what they are. If they're good, then we will do something with them. If they're just, they're junk, then we tear them down for pieces parts. You got a bad laptop and you got a bad keyboard or a monitor, LCD. Well, we can replace it for you, and it won't cost you a cent for us to do that if we have the hardware. Now if we don't, then that's a whole different thing. Further on down within that, we have the laptop processing area, and I've got two or three people that work there. And they go through and check laptops and build them and get them all up to speed. And from there, I have a gentleman, his name is Ned Robinson. I don't mean to pick out on one person, but Ned came up, got a laptop for his son years ago, and he liked what he was doing. So he came back and said, I want to volunteer. And he wrote a inventory program from scratch. He didn't take one from like Google or anything. He wrote it from scratch, and we have an inventory system that that all of our laptops and all of our desktop systems go into, and we're able to track. And then as it goes out the door, we're saying, okay, it's gone here, it's gone there, you know, type of thing. Then we have two people. One is what do you call it? He's she. I'm sorry. She used to work at Kennedy, and she manages the network system as far as the software on it. I've got another gentleman. Another gentleman, Jay Hicks, who was the main networking guy at Kennedy Space Center for systems. And he has set up our server so that we're, you know, pretty much self-sufficient and gone and done everything that we needed to do, you know, and he's always there. Great. I mean, again, here's another man that had an aneurysm and left the work world and is now volunteering, what have you. The gentleman that teaches the class is Dan Bukowski. He had an aneurysm and got rid of his business and what have you. But these guys are brilliant. When they start talking, I kind of glaze over because I have no clue what they're saying. Well, like I said, I'm not a computer geek. I'm an aircraft mechanic and a pilot. You know, not big airplanes, but little airplanes. You know, so it's funny. And then I have five people of different ages. One of the guys is 90. He comes in every week. 90? His name is Matt. Wow. 90. Comes in every, well, the average age for us is like 58 to 90. So he comes in, Matt comes in every week, and he disassembles old hardware or broken hardware. And that's how we get some of our funding. We recycle a majority of the stuff through different avenues, ATM recycling, Cleveland up in Cleveland, you know, and then I've got Rick and Bobby Lasher. I've got Renee. I've got Dolly, Mac. And they take apart all sorts of stuff. We're working with this other young lady. Her name's Jacqueline. And she runs a little recycling organization. And we give her stuff that we don't want to mess with. That helps her. She's Hispanic, and her and her husband have about two or three people that work with her. We give her stuff so that she can continue on. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. I've got people like Tom who checks monitors constantly. I must have 500 or 600 monitors up here, you know. So if you ever need a monitor, you come to me.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they're listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is Fremont Freebie Bassett, the founder of Computers Advancing Education. And we were talking about what Computers Advancing Education does, and he was talking about some of the wonderful volunteers who assist the organization. And is it true, Mr. Bassett, that basically the organization, people donate or corporations donate hardware that they no longer need? Computers Advancing Education refurbishes hardware and gets it up and running and puts an operating system on it and then gives it out to people who are in need. Is that right?
Yep. From 2005, we became a 501c3 nonprofit. To the first of this year, we've given away a little over 13,000 computers. Wow. Education's really, really, really important. When I was a young man, I didn't think about it. And I finally have a master's degree. And I even started a PhD. And I said, nah, I don't need a PhD. You know, I'm 74 years old, you know. And then the thought of me being called Dr. Freebie almost sounds like a porn star. Yeah. So anyways, the goal is to make sure no student is left behind because of a lack of technology. And everybody in the group feels that way. I mean, it's like I said, we're all volunteers. No one gets paid or anything like that. And, it's just, that's what it is. They all have that feeling that we want to be there to make sure a student from first grade through college, through tech school, through whatever, as long as they're in school, that they can compete and they can do it, you know? So that's the goal.
Are these mostly desktop computers or laptop computers or a combination of both?
I would, on a scale of 10, probably 7 are desktops and some laptops, but it all depends. At one time, we used to get bunches and bunches of laptops. And now if we get 10, we're able to make 5 out of the 10. So we kind of said, okay, let's make sure the teachers and special needs children get the laptops, you know? Mm-hmm. That way, you know, but if somebody really needs a laptop, we can make it available, all right?
So how does the process work? If someone, one of our listeners out there, has children in school and they need a computer, what is the process? How do they contact Computers Advancing Education, and what process do they go through in order to, is it an application?
Yes. Yeah. What they need to do is you need to go to our website, Computers, plural, Advancing Education, all one word, .org. And it'll say, make a request or volunteer. So make the request and fill out the form and tell us, you know, why we need to why you need a computer. Do you have money to buy one at the home and da, 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 da. And then it comes through my website, and I review it, or through our website, I should say. I review it. Then I send it over to my treasurer, Mr. Phil Turner, and we both review it and say, yeah, okay, yay, nay, yeah, or we need more information. But we then turn it over to our resource manager, Patricia Murray, and she does all the due diligence to talk to the people. Hey, I need you to fill out this. I need to know more about this. But, you know, are you a student, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it, you know, what have you? This past year, the form that they fill out when they pick up a computer, she gave me a reading that we gave out a little over 900 computers, 900 adults use the computers, and 650 students used it. So, but that adult could have had one or two students with it, you know, so we track certain numbers and what have you. And once it's there, then what we do is once we know, Ms. Murray goes ahead and makes a schedule of when you're going to pick it up. She schedules the date and the time, usually on a Tuesday. And from one, we're here from 12 to 6, and usually 1 o'clock through 5 o'clock to come pick up your computer. And if, you know, if you've got, depending upon, you know, how many children you have or what's it for, it winds up going, okay, two of the people today picked up 2 desktops that they had each for their students. They had 2 students in the house. And the thought of a child not being able to, or a student, I should say, not being able to get to a computer, figure a fifth and sixth grader, they're going to compete for that one computer. So if I can give them 2, then they both can do their schoolwork without any problems, you know?
Now, are these the computers that you're giving away, are they fully functional? They just turn them on and then they have an operating system, they have a word processing system on them, they have internet access, all of that?
Yep. Yep. What we do is we go through, we go through the computer, we make sure it's functional, make sure there's nothing bad on it, and then we buy the COA, Certificate of Authenticity, for Windows 10, and we put that on there, put that in there. We also put either Apache OpenOffice or Libre OpenOffice on there, and that interfaces with almost everything. And then we put in Adobe Reader, we put Java, what else? A couple of other programs right off the top of my head. So the system is functional. And before we give them out, we test them, make sure that when they go out the door, the student has a good operating system. And boom, there it is. They have the Libre and the Apache OpenOffice both have Word, Excel, PowerPoint in them. So It's not like, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. We also buy these little wireless dongles from China, but we put them in and they're wireless, and it makes them wireless. And they're great. You know, we have to buy them, of course. We buy them on eBay and what have you. And the technician will check to make sure all the cooling fans are operating and the memory. And we're increasing the memory in them all so that they run a little bit faster, a little bit better, or they can do a lot more. Okay?
What does the wireless dongle do? What is the purpose of that?
It gives you your Wi-Fi. It gives you a Wi-Fi.
I see.
That way if you have a wireless in your house, you can, you know, it looks like a little, a globe. You click on that, and then it'll show you, and I do it at my house, and it shows me all my neighbors' Wi-Fi system. And of course, now they're all controlled. So I'll go to mine, I'll click on it, and say, oh, enter your password. Once you enter your password, boom, now you're on the Wi-Fi. And then you could go out to any website that you want, hopefully good ones, you know, and it gives you access to the Brevard County school system, gives you access to a whole plethora of different things to do research. I wanted to learn to speak Spanish. So I'm out there on a Spanish, Babbel, to learn how to basic Spanish, you know, whatever, boom. And it does it just fine.
So that the owner of the home or the apartment would have to, there have to be a Wi-Fi system within the household.
Yeah. Within the household. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When you're going back to the software that you install on the computers, let me ask you this. As a bit of a so-called computer geek myself, what is the preferred web browser of Computers Advancing Education? What do you install for a web browser?
It's probably Microsoft Edge, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that. It's Edge. We used to use Google and what have you, and we've stopped. My people, Dan and Jay, have both said, let's just use Edge. And Edge is, the Microsoft Basic. So, boom. And, you know, when you load it, it comes up. Oh, there's an Edge thing, and there's one on the bar down below. So, you know, you got Edge, you know,
well,
on there.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. The only wrong answer in this is Internet Explorer. So we're doing just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we used to do that. And then, yeah, we said, we came to, you know, we have meetings every so often. What's the best thing we can do? You know, what can we use? How can we do this? You know, and Edge was, you know, by far the, because of Microsoft, the best, you know. And we deal with a couple of companies, one, believe it or not, in Canada, and one up in New Hampshire. And we buy our product keys, our COAs, from them. And they're legit. We're what they call a PPR, third-party refurbisher. We used to be an MAR, I think it was. And Microsoft has gotten out of that business. So we're now a TPR. So we buy our third party, and every machine that goes out the door has a copy of that COA in it. Okay?
So where do you get the computers for refurbishing? Where do they come from?
A plethora of places, honest to gosh. Collins Aerospace brought a bunch. Boeing used to. I don't know why Boeing has stopped. I think they've changed their operation, but I wish they had come back. Other companies, people in the industry out there, doctors that are closing up shops or what have you, they trickle in constantly, you know. And is it hundreds? Well, like I said, Career Source of Brevard donated 135 systems to us.
So these are systems when a company is upgrading their system, they may donate their older system. Is that
correct?
Accurate to say?
And then we do an analysis. Okay, is this okay? Let's say out of 10 machines, the first five are great. The next one is, and these two are just, and we harvest parts off of systems like, you know, a lot of people would say, well, why do you want, we harvest parts to get the best of the best out of them. And I want to make sure that if it's got a CD-ROM in it, it's got a CD, DVD, read and write, you know, and some people say, well, what do you need that for? You don't need that. Well, I just had a tech specialist down at Harbor City Elementary call me and say, hey, do you have any external CD-ROMs? Because we bought laptops and they don't have any, and the teachers want to add software for the students to learn. So we got them CD-ROMs, you know, bought them online, and we paid the bill for them. The school board didn't. So, you know, we want to be partners with the tech specialists and the schools so that they know they have an avenue to come to when it's difficult. I mean, the school board has been, don't get me wrong, school board has been great, not only to us, but to the education in Brevard County. But we want to do that little extra to support them.
And how do you make sure that, when, for instance, Collins or a doctor's office who's upgrading, how do you make sure that their information, whatever information they had on these systems, is no longer there before you donate them to a person in need?
Okay. What we do is, some systems don't have hard drives in them. They take them out. But if it comes with a hard drive, we use a thing called DataGon. It's a DOD wipe. And Phil Turner, my treasurer, that's what he does. He's not only the treasurer, but he sits in his operating room and he gets the hard drives and he wipes those hard drives. If he can't wipe that hard drive, we destroy that hard drive. That hard drive becomes pieces part or gets recycled. The disk, the cases. So it never gets back into a system.
I just want to say real quick that I've been to the Computers Advancing Education, for lack of a better word, office, and I've been walked through the whole erasing process. Short of, you know, if, like they said, if they can't erase it, physically destroying the drive. Short of physically destroying the drive, the way they erase it is just about the best you can do. If there was anything there, it's going to be gone after they deal with it.
Yeah, DataGon was a DOD wipe. We used it at Kennedy. Phil worked out there, and that's what he did out there. And it is by far the best wiping system or wiping disk or program that you can buy. We bought another program, and we used it, you know, to test it, and it left a fingerprint, shall we say, on the hard drive. So we threw it through DataGon, and it wiped it completely. There was nothing, X's and O's and nothing else on it, you know. So
anybody who donates a system to you can be confident that if there was any personal data on there, it will be gone before that system.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, if they want, Francis, DataGon has the ability to give you a written sheet showing that it was wiped and signed by Phil or myself.
What else would you like our listeners to know about Computers Advancing Education?
That I have some of the best volunteers. They show up every week, and they volunteer to do things. I have to thank United Way. They have donated funds to us over the last 5 or 6 years to help us, you know, purchase the hardware that we need to purchase and the software. We want to make sure, Computers Advancing Education wants to make sure that no, like I said, no child is left behind because of the lack of technology. And we will go the extra mile to make sure that that happens.
Okay, well, let me pause for a moment now and remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of this morning's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I'm the co-host and producer of today's program.
And today our guest is Fremont Freebie Bassett, the founder of Computers Advancing Education. How many volunteers do you have altogether, Mr. Bassett?
Well, it varies. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. People have other things to do, and, you know, with the pandemic and all that. Right now we have 31 volunteers. Do they all show up at one time? No, which is a good thing. But you know, and I, but they're always there. They're always, you know, positive. They're doing stuff both in and outside of the facility. And, you know, a lot of times they'll get somebody that will say, hey, I got a computer. Do you want it? And they'll bring it to us, you know, what have you. So it's about 31. We have a young man right now. His name is Daniel. He is, I think, a sophomore or junior at a school. And he got the right paperwork to volunteer. And it's great to see him. He's very knowledgeable. And the people up here like working with him. And so he's a real positive person. He's learning computers from the ground up. You know, a lot of times you can read a book about computers or do this, but unless you really got your fingers in something, you don't understand the whole kit and caboodle. The training lab that Dan runs, we have a schematic that shows this is the guts of a desktop. This is the guts of a laptop and how everything works. And, you know, and he goes into detail for, you know, seniors and what have you about what's happening and how this goes on and da, 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 da. The other thing is I like the fact that we can teach somebody another skill like soldering a capacitor in and out of a motherboard or in and out of a power supply. That's another skill that a lot of people don't know, you know, and it's a good skill. I mean, I learned it when I was doing aircraft. I mean, I did dope and fabric on aircraft though. And I've done jet engines. I've done, you name it. And I learned welding. You know, I did a lot of skills when I was learning to be an aircraft mechanic and when I was one. But some of the people nowadays don't have that chance to learn or see these things. So we're offering this stuff, you know, not just for computers, but other stuff so that they get a general idea of how things work and how to make them work and how to fix them when they're broke.
Well, I'll tell you what, I really do appreciate that sort of that hands-on mindset, and especially, I mean, with the other skills too, but especially with working with computers, because, I mean, I've worked on computers long enough at this point that I know that rule number one of dealing with computers is if it's printed in a book or a manual, that's probably not how it's actually going to end up working for you. Nothing ever goes right the first time. So,
oh yeah. Oh
you
yeah.
Definitely got to get hands on, figure out how things work in the real world and figure out how to fix things when they go wrong.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story real quick. One of my techs, great guy, Ed Redding, he's a substitute teacher. And he got a machine, he went through it, and he said, oh, okay, great. So he plugged his monitor in, and for some reason, it didn't have all the colors and what have you. And I just happened to be walking by, and I looked down at where he plugged in his monitor into the back of the machine. And he said, I don't understand what's going on. I can't get this thing to work. So I said, well, maybe this will help. And I pushed his interface cable back into the box a little bit tighter, and it came up just fine. So so now everybody in the facility calls him, and it was, had he had a green screen, so everybody in the facility calls him green screens now.
I bet he's not very happy about that.
No, he laughs. You know, he's such a super guy. You know, I mean, he really is. And we put a sign up on over his desk. Green screen sits here with arrows pointing down.
So is it fair to say that Daniel is your youngest volunteer? He's a sophomore in high school. And then your oldest is the gentleman that you mentioned earlier, who's 90 years old?
Yep.
So you go from like 15 to 90.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hell, I'm 74, you know, so.
So how 2020 has been, to say the least, it was a very difficult year and a very unusual year. And we're obviously now in 2021, and we're still not quite out of we're not out of the pandemic yet. How has the pandemic affected computers advancing education?
Well, everybody that works in the facility comes in their temperature is taken.
Right.
They use the sanitizer as they walk in to clean their hands. Of course, they sign in the board, and then they use the sanitizer. Then they go to the workstation. Now, one of my resource managers, Regina Bruner, super lady, goes in when we come up here. We spray the chairs, the keyboards, and the area, every workstation area, with Lysol spray. I mean, that's a cost, but hey, it's worth it, I think, to minimize the possibility of COVID, you know?
Did you have to shut down for any period of time?
We did. We did for about 30 days, and then we got to the realization of what we could do to harness what we needed to do. But we're back up in operations and, pardon me, up in operations, and we're following procedures on how to do this, Francis, okay?
And what is it that you hope for the future for Computers Advancing Education?
well, that's hard to say. I just want to make sure that we can support the educational and continue to support the educational needs of people in Brevard County, across the state, and some of these nonprofits that are out of state. And we're working with several other nonprofits, you know, and right off the top of my head, I can't tell you their names. I would prefer not to. But, you know, make sure that, you know, that everybody has that ability to compete. We don't want them to be left behind. You know, just it's crazy. Education is important. And if we can give them everything they need to be in this world, this technological world, then we're going to do it. And that's what I'm looking for. I've had some great partners. Like I said, United Way, the Pilots Association up here, private individuals that have donated, Career Source of Brevard, you know, gave us those machines and supported us with other hardware. Collins Aerospace, Harris, Boeing, like I said, used to. I wish they would again. And then there's several doctors in this area that, you know, of dentists and doctors and what have you, that have donated hardware to us. And if they don't, I hope they realize what they've done for the educational needs in Brevard County. It's not just us. You know, okay, like I tell everybody, I'm not even a pretty face for this organization. You know, it's the people that come here every day or every Tuesday and volunteers, and it's the companies and organizations and the private individuals out there that donate this stuff. They may not want it anymore, but, you know, if it's bad, we recycle it. That gives us money to buy the batteries, wireless adapters, memory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to put in these machines. And we're stepping up now from 4 gig to 6 and 8 gig in these machines so that they run faster.
Well, that was my next question, is how, you know, in this field, in technology, things change so rapidly. How do you keep up with those changes?
Well, what we've done is we've set a baseline. Anything that's an i7, an i5, an i3, and a Core 2 Duo Quad, we keep. And the Core 2 Duo Quad probably in another year won't be there. But the i7, i5, and i3s, and I don't care the generation, you know, because there's a real mixed mentality there. We're going to make sure that that processor is good and has the right amount of memory to make it functional and usable for the student.
So you have to adapt as well.
You know, you can't stand there and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use, you know, what good is an old Celeron? What good is an old Pentium? Yeah, you could put a 32-bit system on it, and the best you're going to get is 3 gig of RAM in it. So, huh? You know, what's that going to do for anybody?
I'm not sure I understand what any of that means, but co-host and producer does.
It's kind of interesting because, there's also a flip side to that, which is that as technology advances, you know, the stuff that the quote unquote older or unwanted stuff that people are donating gets better as well. But I also find how it's really interesting how at a certain point, there's current systems, there's systems that are usable, there's systems that no one wants, and then there are systems that are so old that people want them again.
Yeah, right. They're in. Well, like I said, we have an antique area over here. I've got a 10 meg hard drive that's the size of a cinder block, and I remember those at one time. You know, so.
In today's world, you probably couldn't do very much with that at all, could you?
You couldn't.
Oh, heck no, no. No,
the smallest flash drives you can buy are thousands of times larger.
Go to Walmart and you can find a flash drive that's 2 terabyte, and you can pick it up for less than $100. 2 terabyte.
That's a lot. I mean,
that's
even,
a lot.
Even I know that.
Yeah, that's a lot of storage.
Well, you know, the original IBM standard was 1,028. So multiply that and go up and up and up and up and up. You know,
yeah. So.
Well, you hear the stories that the most people today have more computing power in their phones, the cell phones that they carry around, than there was on the Apollo missions that sent man to the moon.
And if you saw the computers they used, you'd believe it.
Oh yeah. Well, let me tell you a funny story. Several years back, we picked up a bunch of processors. 386 processors from Kennedy. I don't know how we got them, but we got them. And about 6 months after we got them, we got a call from Kennedy Space Center saying, hey, by any chance, do you have any 386 processors? And I said, yeah, why? And these were brand new. They were still in the box and the wraps and everything. Well, the crawler computers, 386, and the processors have failed. And any chance we could buy them back? And I said, no, come get them. So we gave them 20 386 processors, brand new still, back to the shuttle program. I mean, that's crazy.
that's a funny story. Are you looking for any more volunteers? If any of our listeners wanted to volunteer?
Would love to.
How would they do that?
I want more volunteers. You go to our website and apply and say, hey, I want to volunteer. And then you come up on a Tuesday, or Pat will, you know, look through it and say, okay, come on up on a Tuesday, and we'll sit you down. And, you know, volunteers are really important. Of course, funding is important. Hardware is important. I mean, you know, it's just a plethora of different items that we need to have to continue to function realistically. And like I said, the Brevard County school system allowing us to work up Whispering Hills and then now here at Riverview has been a godsend for everybody, including not only the operations side of the house, but the giveaway side of the house. And we've been blessed, and I can't thank them enough.
Have you been, with the beginning of the school year, has Computers Advancing Education been particularly busy with requests for computers?
This is the school year. This is the second thing in the school year. Last week we had 11 giveaways. This week we had 14 giveaways.
That sounds like a lot.
It is.
And you and your volunteers have to be able to keep up with that demand, right? I mean,
This is correct.
When a computer is donated, you have to go through the whole process. How long does that process take? Does it depend on what condition the computer is in when you receive it?
Well, yeah, it depends upon a lot of things. I have two gentlemen, the one guy that wrote the inventory program, and I have a guy that brings them in. So he brings them into the inventory. We put them on the appropriate staging area, and then the technicians come in and grab it. And then they review it. You know, they say, okay, fine. If this is a good system, it's still got this. All right, what do we need to do? All right, replace the BIOS battery. Put more memory in it. Check the fans. Make sure that they're, you know, blow them out. We clean them out. You would have no idea the dirt and the dust that are on some machines and how that kills a computer.
They can be just absolutely disgusting.
Those fans attract dust like it's like magnets.
I mean, I had computers, and I won't tell you where we got them. They were so dirty and so dusty, you could barely see the motherboard. And I don't know how they continue to operate. I mean, and heat kills a computer. So, you know, we blow them out. That's the first thing they do. And then they plug them in, and then they look around, and they see this, I see that. So, you know, it's an interesting process, and every technician goes through it every time. So how long does it take? I don't know. That's hard to say, Francis. You know,
is there an average?
Yeah, we'll say that we'll pump out every Tuesday 5 to 7 machines. Okay. Now that means we've gotten them through the technician and it's gone to quality control. Now Dan, the quality control guy, comes in on a off day, and you know, reviews them and says, okay, yeah, this one's good, that one's bad, this one needs to have this done. And Dan is a tremendous asset. Dan and Jay, well, everybody is. I shouldn't just pick out certain people. I mean, I got Tony, I got green screens. I've got Rob, I've got Carrie. I've got Ken from the Space Center. I've got Paul Emerson. I've got Volta. I've got Daniel. I've got Bill. You know, and then I've got Dimitri, who's he's from the Ukraine, but the guy is he's got a degree in computer technology, and he's brilliant, you know. And I got Jay. I got Phil. I got Charles. And then I got Bobby and Rick Lasher. I've got Mac, and I've got Dolly, and you know, just a variety of people who, you know, you don't have to tell them what to do. They know what to do and how to do it. You know, and we have meetings once a month, you know, to discuss, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is how we do it. Oh, I got Ned, who wrote the program. I got Linda Fairby, who monitors the stuff, you know, the software online. It's just, and Tom, I mean, where do you get people that are so engaged in doing something for other people, you know? So, but, you know, and this is going to sound crazy. This is going to sound crazy. You know, most of us are retired, like I am. But, and you're not retired yet, Francis, I know that. But when you get to that point in your life, you look back and go, oh, what am I going to do now? I'm not stupid, and I'm not old. What am I going to do? So,
well, in my case, both of those things might be true.
No, I doubt that. But you look at it and you go, okay, this allows my brain to function again, to think, to do things that I haven't done before, or I've done it again. And I'm adding a positive to the community, you know. So it's kind of like a learning, but you know, it helps people go forward and maintain the stability and their mental capacities and everything. I've seen, and God love people. My father-in-law was a wonderful man. He worked hard as a mechanic, but when he retired, he sat down. And I watched him slowly fade away. And, you know, and that's a horrible thing to say, you know. So if you challenge yourself constantly with something, then it's a positive for you, you know.
Well, that about wraps it up for this week's edition of Radio 1300's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large. We would like to very much thank Fremont Freebie Bassett, the founder of Computers Advancing Education, which is a wonderful organization that refurbishes computers and distributes them to organizations and individuals in need of those computers, so that any student does not fall behind for lack of having access to the internet or access to a functioning computer. So thank you very much for being our guest once again, Mr. Bassett. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, both you and Christopher. You're great people, and I'm glad we know each other, and I'm glad we're friends, and I'm glad we're able to do something positive for the community, okay?
Well, I'm glad you are too, and we echo your sentiment. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you the next time.
Thank you for speaking with us.
And thank you all for listening.
You know, the people in Brevard County are wonderful people.
They are.
I'm glad we're able to help them in some way or another.
I'm glad you are too. Thank you again.
Take care. Bye now.